Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Transportation congestion represents a very serious threat to this nation's economic prosperity and quality of life. Whether trucks stalled in traffic, cargo stuck at overwhelmed seaports, or airplanes circling over crowded airports, congestion costs Americans an estimated $200 billion a year. Congestion also robs us of time, which is better spent engaged in more fruitful activities. With us this morning to discuss his department's efforts to reduce transportation system congestion is Tyler Duvall, Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Albert.
Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer, Director of Federal Civilian Programs. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Al.
Tyler, perhaps you could share with us a sense of the history and mission of the U.S. Department of Transportation. When was it created, and what is its mission today?
Well, the department was officially came to being in April 1st, 1967, to serve the United States by ensuring a fast, safe, efficient, accessible, and convenient transportation system that meets our vital national interests and enhances the quality of life of the American people today and into the future. A short answer, though, I think, is the department's mission is to cobble together various programs, policies, and regulations and really ensure that the nation's transportation system is working correctly and safely.
Now, that's obviously a fairly broad definition, a very broad area for the country. So how is DOT organized, and can you give us a sense of the scale through the size of its budget, number of employees, its geographic footprint?
Right. The department's budget in 2006 was about $65 billion. We have about 53,000 employees. A huge chunk of those employees work for the Federal Aviation Administration. So we are organized by mode, for the most part, or regulatory activity. The Federal Aviation Administration, as I said, personnel-wise is the largest. Budget-wise, however, the Federal Highway Administration is the largest. That agency makes out grants to state and local governments for highway construction. Third largest by budget size is the Federal Transit Administration, which makes grants for public transportation systems in urban areas. And then we have regulatory agencies in the areas of pipeline safety, railroad safety, hazardous materials safety. And we also then have what's called a research organization, a technology administration, that's a standalone agency intended to bring together all the research activities of the department. As you mentioned, the scope is extremely broad, and in fact, that has been the single biggest challenge for the department in its 40-year life, is to really integrate these modes of transportation under a common idea and common policy.
Tyler, now you provided us with a sense of the larger organization. Could you tell us more about your area and role within DOT? Specifically, what are your responsibilities and duties as the Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy? And could you tell us about the areas under your purview, how you're organized, the size of your staff, the budget, and how it supports the mission of the department?
Right. My job is to basically be the primary surface transportation policy advisor along with our undersecretary for transportation, Jeff Shane, who's been at the department for a number of years. He and I provide policy advice, strategic direction to both the secretary, and then we work directly with the heads of all those agencies I just referenced within the department to set policy direction. We work on legislation development, regulatory development, and we really try to give the secretary, information, advice to guide policy development within the department. It's a very small office. We have approximately in my office about 30 employees. On the other side, there's specifically an aviation and international affairs office that does policy in those areas. It has about 90 employees. But overall, we're a fairly lean operation. We don't have significant budgetary resources, but we have a significant mission to really make sure we know everything that's going on at the department at all times. And, it is a classic case of policy interacting with kind of day-to-day operations. And I think that the secretary relies extensively on our office to make sure she knows what's going on at the department at all times.
Hey, as a follow-on regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges that you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
Well, the top three challenges are, I'd say one is because we are not handing out grants, directly regulating ourselves, is really, the main value we add is our expertise, our knowledge, and to the extent that we are not informed, have not done on adequate reading or not relevant to the day-to-day decision-making needs of the secretary and all the modal administrations, we simply will not be effective. So the biggest challenge is to stay informed, stay engaged, stay relevant in the activities of the department. The other big challenge we have as an ongoing challenge is our budgetary resources. Because they're so limited, our ability to do our own research, to acquire our own policy expertise is limited, and so we have to rely extensively on others throughout the department. And then I guess the third challenge is really driven by the organization itself, which is because of the diversity of the organization, as you mentioned, it's been called the stovepiping of the Department of Transportation. It's been the criticism over the years. It's a very difficult challenge to try to integrate the different policies across the modal administration. So we may be successful in one area implementing policy direction, and then we find that other administrations either are doing different policies or, frankly, just haven't been integrated successfully. And that's our challenge, is to really try to integrate all these different ideas that are kicking around the department, because, one day you'll wake up and realize, somebody's pursuing a policy which on its face doesn't appear to be inconsistent with another policy, but turns out to be inconsistent. So getting buy-in for all these diverse policies, I think, is a difficult challenge. So.
Now, Tyler, you came to the department from the private sector. Could you describe your career path for our listeners, and how did you get started?
Well, I graduated law school in 1998 from the University of Virginia School of Law, and started fairly immediately at a law firm here in Washington, D.C., Hogan & Hartson. I worked in the Tyson's Corner office doing corporate securities work, and I did that for about 3.5 years. Tremendous exposure. Great law firm. I got really, I think, well-skilled in the areas of transactional practice, and this is, the tremendous exposure to commercial life in the United States, particularly in an area as sophisticated as Washington, D.C. I started in the department in the same office I'm in now as the lowest level political appointee you can be, the special assistant to the assistant secretary at the time, longest title in government. At the time, I was basically providing policy assistance to him in his carrying out of the duties that I have now, and writing speeches, preparing policy statements. The exciting thing about it at the time that I joined the department was it was the beginning of the ramp up of the debate over the first surface transportation reauthorization legislation at the federal level, something that eventually became known as Safety Lou. And so it was a fascinating exposure to big legislation. This is became a $284 billion piece of federal legislation that's obviously huge impacts across the surface transportation system. So I was the primary policy development person for the assistant secretary on that bill, and it was just a great, great experience doing that. And then I got promoted in October of 2003 to become the deputy assistant secretary, and I held that position for a number of years, became the acting assistant. I've basically held every political title in the Office of Policy right now, other than the undersecretary. So.
That's fantastic, Tyler. So tell me, how have these various experiences prepared you for the current role that you have right now? But more importantly, how do you think it has shaped your management approach and your leadership style?
Well, policy is an area that, in my view, in government, you really need to have some legal understanding. And I'm not saying you need a law degree. I'm fortunate to have one. But I think you need to understand the law. The law obviously drives so much of the policy in government. And obviously, we are creatures of the law at the end of the day. We only exist because of it. And I think to really understand how statutes work, how to implement those, and then how, frankly, agreements are enforced, property law, contracts, those are fundamental underpinnings of doing policy, and particularly in the area of transportation where you have so much commercial activity. I think that commercial training was very important. And then I think the other kind of area that I've become a passionate learner, I think, of is economics. I was an economics major. I think the economics forms an underpinning of much of our legal system. So I think those two areas have really guided my thinking, the way I approach problems. And I found that others who approach these problems come to similar, with similar educational backgrounds, come to similar conclusions about policy solutions. So educational training and legal training, I think, are fundamental. And then I think from a management perspective, because our office is so small and because we're not implementing programs, my approach has been to really liberate creative people, is to try to turn our office into kind of a think tank within the department, to really embrace people who are coming forward with creative ideas. Our main value to the department is adding thoughts, concepts, asking tough questions. And if we are not doing that, if we were simply kind of coming in and reading the mail, I think we are not going to be an effective office. So my management style has been somewhat loose in terms of welcoming and accepting of people to come forward with different ideas, but also really challenging and going towards trying to identify the people in the office that are willing to do the tough work and the creative work. This is the beginning of a new era of transportation and policy in the United States, and our office has got to be, I think, willing to be at the forefront of that change.
Excellent. What is congestion pricing? we will ask Tyler Duvall, Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy at the U.S. Department of Transportation, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.